Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future. They've been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we welcome author Keel Barnikoff. I did warn you. He's an author, and we're going to talk about his new book. I'm sorry. It's Keel. I did warn you. I can practice. I can do everything, and I'll get one of the names wrong.
I understand. So, okay.
Anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us, did you always start writing? Were you a writer as a child, or were you inspired by somebody?
Well, I've been telling stories all my life, very informally, most of the time verbally, especially when I was a kid. And I've dabbled in writing before, but when I got into the business world, growing with a family and everything, didn't have time to do much with it. I did write a children's book back in the early 80s, and actually sent it out for publication, but nobody ever picked it up. So, and I still got it. I may try to republish it on my own at some point. But anyway, I really didn't get into it until I retired from the business world here about a year and a half ago. And that's when I started writing Shepherds of Destiny, my current novel that's out there. And really enjoy it. I mean, I almost write just because I enjoy it. I'm not really trying to, be the next bestseller on the New York Times or anything. I just enjoy what I do.
I think that's the best way. I write for myself mostly, and I hope other people like it when I write.
Yeah, sure.
Are you a big reader?
Yeah. Oh, yes. In fact, lately, in the last few years, because I had a real long commute for the last 6 years of work, I went to listening, using the Audible system off of Amazon to listen to novels. And that's mostly how I read now. I listen when I ride my bike or when I walk on the beach or whatever. I listen to novels and books and things like that. So that's really how I get my information now.
I just think that it's really interesting that now everybody, we have e-readers and we listen to audio there was Books on Tape before, but it's not the same. I mean, you can download a book and carry it around on your cell phone. It's a strange world we live in now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Do you have a favorite author?
I probably don't. I mean, I grew up liking Stephen King a lot. When I say grew up, since my early 20s, when he first started publishing, I started reading Stephen King and always enjoyed his books. But other than him, I mean, I've read so many different authors. I can't even begin to tell you which, if any of them were a favorite. I like Grisham with his legal novels that he does. That's pretty much, I'm open to just about anything.
Do you have a preferred genre?
Definitely science fiction, medical fiction, historical novels. All of those kind of fit my favorite realm.
This is what I call... I get into my periods where I have to read a certain author. Do you get hooked in somebody and then you get out of it and you go and read on different books and then all of a sudden you get hooked into somebody else? Or do you have one author that you go to all the your authors for the different genres that are just your go-to?
Yeah, basically what I did, there was an author, and I can't even think of his name now. It's been about a year ago. That he had a number of different Audible books out there, books on Audible, I got into the first one. It was a science fiction, outer space thing. It was really going well, kind of a Star Trek type of thing. And he had, I forget how many books, 8 or 10 different books out there. And after I did the first one, I hit them all. one after the other, and didn't listen to another thing until I got through all of them. And I'll do that once in a while. I'll get an author out there that I really like, and they write a good a continuing sequel, if you will, across a number of different books, and I want to continue with that. So that's.
Do you like get read about their autobiographies? Do they like to get to know about the author?
Sometimes, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I want to, you know, find out how they got started and what they did early on and things like that. I know Stephen King was very open with that at one time early in his career about, you know, how he wrote so many novels and nobody was publishing them. And all of a sudden he got, I forget which one, the first one that really hit big. It might have been The Stand. But that hit really big and he was all of a sudden famous and how he dealt with that and all of those things. So
I remember that. My brother was a big Stephen King fan when he was younger. And when he was in the Gulf War, my dad was sending him books because there was a period where they were just waiting in Kuwait for the time for them to go over into Iraq. And
sure.
So the books were so big, even in paperback, they were just really, really thick.
Yeah, I know.
Half the weight is the books.
Right. Yeah, I know. The more recent King novel that I read was the one where the protagonist goes back in time to attempt to stop the Kennedy assassination. And that thing was huge. I mean, it probably had almost 1,000 pages. But it kept your interest throughout the whole thing. It was really good. I think they even made a movie out of it, maybe a TV movie. I think it was called 1962 or something like that was the title. But it was really well done and you know, much more recent than probably published about 4 or 5 years ago.
I never heard of that one, and I love time travel. Who wrote that?
That's Stephen King. I believe it was called 1962, yeah, or something like that, 1962 in the title. And it's out. If you go out there and search on Stephen King on Amazon, it'll come up. You'll see it. And it's fascinating.
I just kind of see him as horror, so I don't really read his books. But if he did a time travel science fiction thing, I probably will look that one up.
Yeah, it's a really good one. I really enjoyed that. And in fact, they did make a I don't know if it was a Netflix movie or I don't think it was in the theaters, but I believe it was Netflix or Amazon Prime or one of those streaming things that had it as a full-length movie, which was really good as well.
Interesting. That's cool. Yeah, I have a lot of friends who write horror books, and I'm very supportive, but I'm not a horror girl. Never have been. I mean, sorry.
Yeah.
I will interview, I will promote you, but I will not read you.
Okay.
But I don't have many genres. Horror and really horror. That's about it, really. I don't read anything else but horror.
Yeah, I think the horror thing, for the most part, has kind of been done. I mean, I don't know if there's something that they can do that's going to be astoundingly different than what's already been done. I don't really look at horror anymore. I mean, I used to, obviously, I read Stephen King, but now there's too many other things out there that I enjoy. So it just doesn't come up high on my list, I guess.
And it's weird because I love mysteries. I love thrillers. I just don't like horror. I don't like the gruesomeness of it, I guess. I was brought up on Hitchcock, so I love a good thriller.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have, like, movies or TV shows that influenced you as in every way, but as a writer?
Well, I've always been a big Trekkie. I've loved Star Trek, both the TV shows and the movies. I've been watching it since, I guess I was about 15 when the thing came out the first time. And so that kind of got me off on the, you know, the space type, science fiction type things. I also like medical shows, things like, I'm trying to think of one now. Grey's Anatomy, for example, and those types of shows with a lot of medical technology in them always fascinate me. Movies. And the other things that I'm very interested in, I'm an astute student of history, and anything historical, whether, you know, a lot of times it's a war picture, it's World War II, it's World War I, Civil War movies, those types of things, I always gravitate. In fact, I just went to see the new movie Midway that just came out, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Even though I think there was an older Midway movie, but this one is just, with all the modern graphics and everything else, is just incredible. So those are pretty much the areas that I follow, if you will.
Yeah, I love history. I'm also a big documentary person, and actually more than anything else, documentaries affect my writing.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, like I studied archaeology. I have a degree in archaeology. And
oh, cool.
So I love anything archaeological. So I actually am writing a thriller with archaeology in it. But it's not just that, but also just things that I see in a show that's a documentary can weave its way into a story that has absolutely nothing to do with it, but there's something that connects it. In my head, I'm writing. Do you ever have that? It's really strange. I never know how things are just going to, like, I was working on a play, and some metaphysics that I had read when I was in my 20s evolved into the play, which I didn't even know where it came from, but it just poured out of my head into the work. Do you ever get inspired like that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's when I was writing Shepherds of Destiny, the whole thing having to do with ALS and its current state of medical treatment, if you will, and then also how, you know, what can be done to, you know, to arrest it, if you will, or stop it. And then ultimately heal it. What are the options? Those kinds of things pop into my head, and they'll do it at the weirdest times. I could be out in the ocean, body surfing, and something will pop in my head, and it's like, oh my goodness, I need to remember this. So, but that's kind of where I am with it.
In the old days, it would be the back of an envelope or like inside the cover of a book. I did that. I was at the beach one time, and a story idea popped into my head. And I opened the cover of the novel I was reading, and I wrote inside it. maybe it was on the marker. I don't remember, but I wrote inside there because I didn't have any other paper. Nowadays, you could just put it in your cell phone.
Right, exactly, and it's great. I have a journal on my cell phone. I can just talk to it. Tell it the idea, and it's saved. It's great.
Yeah, life's changed since modern stuff. Good and bad. that's part of the good. There's a lot of good. Like the ability to send yourself a message, have your phone ring that it's time for you to make a phone call or something like that. You know, have a schedule and have it interwoven with your phone. I mean, that part's the good part.
yeah.
There's some bad parts, but, you know, like hackers.
Yeah. Yeah. And in my book, I get into what the future bad thing might be, bad things. So.
There's a lot of them. A lot of them.
Yeah.
But I just don't, I can't say it. I'm sorry, my throat's not that great right now either. The dark look at science fiction, I can't get into those. I was brought up by my father. and watching Star Trek. So I'm more of, if I'm going to read about the future, I want to read about a positive future. I have enough darkness in normal life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So it's, you know, I think that's why in Shepherds of Destiny, that's why, you know, I'm looking at how good defeats evil. And it kind of is happening one big event at a time throughout history. And, you know, so far, good has won every battle. So hopefully we can continue that way.
I hope so. But like I said, I understand that people like to get the darkness out. And I have stuff with darkness, but I always end my stuff with light. There's always hope, always happiness. There's always some joy at the end of the story. You know, people may die, but there's always something positive at the end.
Oh, sure.
The unmitigated angst I don't get.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but that's one of the things.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're writing. I mean, when I write, I try to reflect life. I mean, you know, what actually happens. It's fiction, but it doesn't necessarily have to be fiction, I guess is where I'm going with this. And, you know, even though I'm talking, you know, future technologies and future medical advancements that may or may not happen, or they may happen in a different way, but at least they happen. And try to relating that into an everyday type of conversation is really what I try to do.
I think that that's another thing that is important. One of the reasons why I love promoting authors is to try to get people to see how many different kind of books out there and how many different kinds of people create those books. Because
mm-hmm.
people think that people who write are all stamped with the author thing. And I've never met two people who are writers that are the same. It's like
mm-hmm.
two people with the same opinion. It doesn't exist.
Right. So no, none of us are exactly alike, thank goodness. So so I think, you know, people that write are all going to be different too. So
it would be terribly boring if everybody was the same.
Yes, very much.
Why don't we go into your story? What is your book about? Where is it set? And who would be interested in it?
I would say, you know, so far from the reviews and comments I've gotten on it, it appears to be that women like it better than men, which that kind of surprised me. I didn't think that would happen. But it does, and, you know, it's got a little bit of romance in it, too, and maybe that's where that's coming from. You know, generally the reviews of all, in fact, most of the reviews I've gotten have been from women, so.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that it's mostly women?
I think it's great, you know, because quite honestly, I know a lot of guys, and I know a lot of them read, but what they're reading, generally, if I look back on it, isn't really this type of genre. A lot of them are reading sports stories or war stories or maybe some politics or something like that. But the science fiction, medical fiction, historical fiction stuff, I don't think a lot of them read it. And it could be just my narrow-minded view of the world, but that's what I'm seeing. But apparently I was a little surprised that the women liked it because it's got, you know, a good deal of history in it, historical fiction. It's got medical in it, medical fiction. And like I said, it's got some romance sprinkled in there too. So far that's who is interested in it.
It's interesting. I think that also that fiction is something that is very elastic. You could go any direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can combine different genres, and you don't, there's nothing to be stuck in. You know, I find it interesting that I've talked to some young people who want to be authors that say, well, I love mysteries, but I don't want to be like mysteries in the past. And I kind of want to put some science fiction in, but I know that's not done. I said, who says? Do what you want.
Yeah, right.
What do you want to read? Mm-hmm. That sounds great. You know?
It's a story that I incorporated quite a few different, you know, it's all science fiction, but it's generally a lot of sub-genres, if you will, in there. You know, you've got the historical element, you've got the science fiction element, you've got supernatural element, you know, a little bit of romance, and it all came together pretty well, at least from the reviews and comments I've received on it.
And did you do research about Lou Gehrig's disease?
Yes, I did. In fact, I got the idea from that. I had a colleague that I worked with back in the early 90s at Delta Airlines. He was a pilot, but he was working in the operations office where I was, and he came down with ALS, and it was really kind of a sad thing to watch what happened to him. Going, here's a guy that can fly a 757, at one point, and then he's completely paralyzed, unable to feed himself. The only thing left at the point, at the end point, was basically his mind. His mind was still sharp, but he, you know, needed assistance to do everything else, and his body was essentially dead. But his mind was alive, and that's where I got the idea to use ALS as the vehicle that lets the protagonist and others move into the cyborg existence.
It is a terrible disease. Mm-hmm. I hope they find a cure for it very soon.
Yeah, it's actually kind of the opposite of Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's, you lose your mental facility. But you retain a lot of your physical, your body, where this one destroys the body, but the mind stays intact. So it's kind of a flip, dark side of it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but Alzheimer's is hard on the caretaker, the family, more
mm-hmm.
than the patient, because the patient
right.
doesn't really realize what's happening to him because of what's mm-hmm. happening to his mind, but the people that he does or she doesn't recognize, things like that, that's just horrifying. It's a horrible
right.
thing, otherwise, I think. Both are very
sure.
dark.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I just hope that they come up with cures for both of them because they're both horrible.
I think they will. I don't know how long it'll take, but when you incorporate all of the AI going on into medicine now, we're going to see advancements over the next 15, 20 years that will dwarf what has been done over the last 200 years. I mean, completely dwarf it. So, in fact, I think we'll get to a point where just about every disease today will be able to be stopped or completely cured. So that's I'm hoping I live long enough to take advantage of it.
Do you do a series of the same genre, or do you like pop from story to story? How do you go about what's your next project is?
Yeah, the project I'm working on now is the sequel to Shepherds of Destiny, Book One, and I continue the efforts in Book Two. All of the characters in Book One are still in Book Two, with a few new ones that are being added. I'm probably about 40% through Book Two now, and I hope to finish it up and get it published early next year. And I look for this series actually to be a trilogy. So that's the plan right now. And then I've got some ideas that some of the characters in Shepherds will go off on their own and have their own novel, that they'll have a separate story from Shepherd, from the Shepherd series. So I've got several out there. As long as I feel like writing, I think I'll have something to write about.
And it's great. It's interesting because it's not actually that easy to write a series. Do you have it like all, I know everybody does it different, but do you have it pre-planned? Do you have it like outlined? Do you have it, how do you structure it?
Basically, I rely on an outline, loosely rely on an outline. I'll do the outline for several chapters. I know overall what I want to have in the book, and it's usually in my head. I don't usually write something down like a mission statement, but I know where it wants to go. And sometimes I actually get ahead of my outline, so I've got to go back and look at it again and say, is this fitting right? Because I just kind of go. Keep going. If I, I guess a burst of energy and want to keep going without fooling with the outline. So I sometimes get ahead of myself with the outline, and I have to go back and say, maybe this should be in a different part of the story and things like that. So I don't overanalyze it, but that's pretty much it. And I've got an idea where I want book two to stop and book three to begin, as far as the overall theme, which the overall theme of the book is good triumphing over evil, but it's an ongoing war. It's done one step at a time, one issue at a time, one event at a time. It's not any big apocalypse type thing that's going to happen.
What do you do if your character doesn't want to do what you want it to do?
Well, I do hit spots where I come to a point where sometimes where I sort of like not sure where I want it to go exactly, and I'll have to. Sometimes I'll take several days and I'll just kind of let it sort of dwell in my head until I say, okay, this should work. Let's try this, and we'll go off and do it that way. And usually that helps if I go so far and then I kind of. Well, I don't know if I've run out of the energy or run out of something, but I just stop. And I don't even call it writer's block necessarily. I call it just the way my head works. It kind of comes and goes.
I think it's interesting, and people who don't write probably think that a writer is mad. But characters, they have their own personality. You gave it to them, but then they go off. And they won't do dialogue, they won't do business because they don't feel it's right. And sometimes you're fighting with them. And I've never met an author who hasn't gone through that. It's just part of being a writer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I've got, ideas for some of my characters to go do. And, I even incorporate the pushback that I anticipate. I anticipate they're going to push back because of the nature of their character. And I have to work that through the story as to how we deal with that pushback.
How do you deal with it, though? That's one of the questions for the new writers that are listening to the radio show.
Basically, it's going to be different for every situation. And in the book I've got, I'm working now, and also with the one I've just published, you get a character that, for example, doesn't want to perform, doesn't want to do something, doesn't want to speak in public, or just doesn't. And the idea is go back and have, one of the other characters who he's working with kind of become a coach or an advisor or something like that to try and talk them into, give it a try, do it, even though you don't think you can do it, you're going to do great, kind of a coaching kind of thing, and put that element in. Where you see the resistance. And I think that adds kind of a human element to the story. Because you're right, people, they get assigned things. I know I used to get things, assigned things at work to do, and I didn't want to do it. And I'd go argue with my boss, and eventually, he'd come around and say, okay, you can do this. I know you don't want to do it, but we really need you to do it. Da, 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 da. And it finally worked out one way or the other. So
yeah.
That's kind of the way I do it.
And that's interesting too. The point is that they're parts of you, but they have their own thought processes, and you have to appeal to that thought process,
right?
Even though it's in your own head. Mm-hmm. It makes us sound like we're schizo writers, but it's just the way the human mind works.
Well, I think I know as I write, I kind of try to take on the personality of the character I'm dealing with. I try to react to things as if I was the character and convey that as I write. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's vital. I mean, and I cry during certain scenes, or I get emotional, or I get really pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean, exactly.
Yeah, that's why writers are lonely people, because we're alone getting all emotional over people that aren't even there. This is a weird thing. We don't have a lot of time. Do you have any events that are coming up, conventions, book fairs, writer conferences that you're going to go to that you want to let people know?
No, not yet. I just started working with Sherry Rosen here about a month ago, I guess. And so she's working on her side of things to try and get things going. So not yet. I've got a few more interviews scheduled. And I know she's working on even a few more after that. So we'll see where that goes, but nothing else, no book signings yet or anything like that.
Oh. And do you have a website?
Yes, I do. Keelbarnikove, one word, .com.
And spell your name because it is unusual.
Sure. It's KIELBARNEKOV.
And do you have any of the social media? And if you do, could you give that so people can say hi?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on, certainly on Facebook. And you just search on my name and I'll come right up. And I believe Sherry made me get a Twitter account, which I never had before. And I'm not sure about what using that much anymore. But that's... oh, what is Twitter? Let me see if I can bring it up here real quick. I don't hardly ever go over there to Twitter. I'm not, so far haven't been, I've probably been neglectful when it comes to using Twitter. In fact, I don't even, here it is, Twitter show. And it actually, my name on Twitter is at Baron KB, BARONKB.
And, but you're not very active on there. Are you on Instagram?
I may be. I'm not real active on it, I tell you if that's true. But let me see. Hold on just a second. Logins. Instagram. No, I don't see a login for it. Into an instant checkmate. No. No, I don't think I'm on Instagram. So.
Because that way people can say hi and let you know that they're enjoying you. And also, get into conversation about your books and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, thank you for coming on the show. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. That was a great conversation.
Thank you.
And I'll let you know when book two is published and maybe we can do it again.
Great. That'd be great. Okay. I'd love to talk to you about it. Thank you. And thank you for chatting, Sherry.
Sure. Thanks for having me.